Hey, this is Lisa. You found me on Empower Radio. Thank you so much for choosing to be positive now. We've got such a cool guest today for you to listen to. I've kind of been, I would say, fascinated with reality TV. I'm not going to say that I'm a fanatic or that I know all about it or that I even really like it, but I have been intrigued by it. So I decided we're going to talk to somebody who knows all about this, somebody who was on one of the most popular, still running, award-winning reality shows, and that's Survivor. Mike Scoopin, how are you?
Hey, great to be here, Lisa.
Now, we are obviously going to talk about more than just Survivor, but that particular event in your life does relate, and you can help it relate to other people's lives as well. So, you know, Survivor is like, you know, number 492 now because it's been going on forever. Which season were you in?
The second season. It's now, they had their 10th anniversary last season, their 20th show. They do two a year. It's still top dog. You know, Bill Gates said, whoever comes to market with the product first wins. And it's really true, because there might be other reality shows that might have higher quality content, but Survivor still reigns.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one was in the Amazon?
No, mine was in the Australian Outback.
Ah, okay. So what's going to possess somebody to isolate themselves from their family and friends in the Australian Outback, you know, eating strange things and abusing their body during these challenges? What mindset brought that about?
You know, it's a really interesting question, because it would be answered much differently today than it would have been answered 10 years ago, because when we did reality TV, it didn't exist. So we didn't really know what we were really getting into. We didn't realize that anybody was going to be famous or do a TV commercial or host a show or be a news anchor. I mean, nobody had any idea. So we really went for the adventure. And we had a 1 in 16 shot of winning $1 million. So I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, I've never let my husband go for 6 weeks. Hmm. Like, what kind of father are you? I mean, there's been a lot of, I've heard, you know, I've done 2,000 speaking engagements since 2001, since the show aired, and I've heard just about everything you can imagine. And I'll tell you, it really changes you, because as a man, sometimes, oftentimes, maybe even most of the time, it takes something to almost taken away from you before you ever really appreciate it.
Explain that, because it sounds like you had a revelation.
Yeah, I thought I was a great dad. I thought I was a great son. I thought I was a great friend. But you take such an introspective look at yourself out there, stripped of everything that's familiar to you, and you really start to realign your priorities. And everybody that got voted off of our show said the same thing: life changing.
So you come back home, and is it hard to sort of readjust?
Oh, it's about us.
Yeah.
I mean, the world's noisy. There's no noise out there. There's no ambient sound. It's just animals and weather is all you hear out there. And when you get back, you realize how many noises exist in radios and TVs and car horns and sirens and airplanes. And it's pretty amazing. And also, the world smells a lot differently in suburbia than it does in the wilderness. So, yeah, I mean, even today, 10 years later, getting a drink of water, you know, we were thirsty beyond what you know as thirst. We were hungry well beyond what you know as hungry. And even 10 years later, I still think about that experience almost with every single meal and every single drink.
So it makes you appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's sad that it takes that. You know, you're reading the history books about the pioneers and all the things that they went through, but it just doesn't seem real until you actually live it.
Okay, so let's compare that to, you know, here you are, you're feeling the worst thirst, the worst hunger. Let's compare that to somebody who's going through something in their life right now that they feel is absolutely unbearable. What got you through that moment? Mike?
Lisa, I lost you there for a sec.
You know what? That was very good dramatic pausing. Thank you for that. It was like, da-da-da-da, and here's the answer. So what got you through that moment?
what got you through that moment. I had a conversation the other day. Somebody had somebody going through cancer, and the answer in an email back to them was, I can't imagine what you're going through. But really, you can, because it's just pain, and we've all experienced pain, and pain's the same, whether it's, you know, somebody getting hurt or somebody getting sick, or the pain of a breakup of a relationship, or the pain of being broke, or, I mean, pain is pain, and we've all felt it. So we can all really, really relate. And I think oftentimes it's lessons learned because of pain. I think oftentimes pain is just a universal way of saying you haven't learned that lesson yet in some respects. And our lives are so busy from the time that alarm clock rings in the morning until we go to bed at night. If we've got 5 free minutes, we're picking up our cell phone or grabbing a newspaper or turning on the weather channel or clicking the radio on. We busy our lives up, so we never really get a chance to learn or to listen or to evaluate. But out there, that's all you did. So It is life-changing and long-lasting life-changing because you were able to process, where our typical lives don't give us the ability to do that.
Yeah, and some people might say, oh, I could never do that. Well, you don't know until it's presented to you. And like you said, same maybe emotions and feelings, different circumstances in life. You don't need to, you know, wait until you're, you know, on an island, you know, ravaged with thirst before you have these moments of clarity.
Yes, and that's absolutely true. It's like that for everybody out there in different ways, because people do say what you just said often, I could never do what you did. The problem is, out in the Australian outback, in the middle of, you know, 300-400 miles away from civilization, you couldn't quit. There was nobody to even quit to. The cameraman wouldn't talk to you. You couldn't talk to them. So you could get up and start walking 400 miles in whatever direction you guessed would be the place to be, but quitting wasn't even an option. So there were people out there like Elizabeth Hasselbeck, that's now host of The View, who never really left the campsite because it was so foreign to her. And I'm sure she's one of those people that has thought a couple of times, boy, if someone tossed me out the you can quit card, maybe would have taken it, because it was 37 degrees at night. We're soaked wet to the bone. And 8 hours of that, I mean, it's a lot to endure. But the next day, the sun rises, your clothes dry, you get warm, life's good again.
Yeah.
So I think the problem is that our culture has allowed quitting. You know, you can look at any statistical category of quitting, whether it's on marriages or quitting on sports team. I've coached 62 seasons of sports with my 7 children. And almost every single season, somebody either quits or tries to quit. When we were kids, there was you weren't even allowed to quit.
I know. And isn't it true, too, in like sporting teams now, like all the kids get an award or whatever? It's like, well, wait a second. Isn't there a winner and a loser? I don't understand the whole in-between stuff.
Lisa, I'll take that one step further. When my kids get invited to birthday parties, everybody gets presents.
What?
They give gift bags to all the kids so that nobody feels bad. I always tell the parents in advance, your kid's not getting a gift at my child's birthday party. If you don't want to bring one, that's fine. You know, you're right, they do. I coach 3rd and 4th graders in sports, and in some leagues, they don't even keep score because they don't want there to be a winner and a loser. And, I mean, I understand the concept, but it doesn't work, because every single kid and every single parent in the stands can tell you what the score is at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's because about measuring progress.
Measuring progress, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
I talk about that a lot in the book I wrote and in another book I'm writing about, you know, parenting the way we were parented instead of this new age way of parenting where people are negotiating with 2-year-olds. And you know, how do you negotiate with a 2-year-old? What are you going to do when they're 12?
Yeah, no kidding. That's good. Let's talk about that. Your book, Discover Your Inner Strength. Now, that's been out for a little while now.
About 2 weeks. It just came out.
Oh, it's brand spanking new, like a new baby. You've given birth. How awesome. And tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I was, there is a couple of really big deal business authors. One's named Stephen Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Brian Tracy's wrote several books, and he's a motivational speaker all over the country. They asked me to co-author 3 chapters in this book with them. And they had a book, Discover Your Inner Strength, and they had heard me speak, and they wanted my insights on 10 different subjects. And so I wrote 3 chapters in this book, and it was just such a neat platform to finally get my thoughts down on paper that I'm actually in the middle of writing my own book now.
Oh, my gosh. That is great. What's this new book called? Can you tell us?
There's a couple of different titles on the table. One's called Fireproof. you know, my experience on Survivor, and I'm sure we'll end up talking about this, is
yep.
I was headed for the winner's circle, and I fell into a fire. I passed out in the middle of a fire. And, you know, the world saw that as my biggest defeat because I was just a couple of days away from winning $1 million. But really, it was the greatest victory in a way because it was a lesson learned. And what I've done as a result of that, what I've turned that into, so I'm starting the series called Fireproofing Your Marriage and Fireproofing Your Children and Fireproofing, you know, your career. And, you know, it's just, there's ways to control. You know, we say, we're not the boss. We don't own the company. We don't have any control. Oh, you certainly do. We control our destiny. We control our paychecks. We control our relationships. We control whether our children come out successful or unsuccessful. We really control it all.
Yeah, and it starts with controlling our thoughts.
Yes, exactly.
You know, if you think you can, you can. That whole, you know, the whole thing that Henry Ford said, whether you believe you can do a thing or not, you are right.
And it's almost become a cliche, and, you know, people say, well, I mean, if I just say that, it's going to work. Come on, I don't believe that. But you can already see that they're not doing it.
Very self-defeating attitude.
I tried that, and it didn't work. Well, then you're not trying it because, you know. So, it's interesting. And it took me probably falling into that fire and a little bit of tragedy and sitting in the intensive care ward for 10 days, unable to use my hands, you know, is probably the worst place that you could be in the intensive care ward of a burn unit because there's people are just screaming in pain because they don't make a medication that takes away the pain of the burn. Mm-hmm. And you get deep in your faith, whatever faith you are, you get deep in your priorities, you get deep in where you've been and where you're going, and it can really be a positive thing no matter what happens to you as long as that lesson is learned.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting to me if you think about the actual place that you were burned. Your hands, to me, are all about creation and giving, and they transformed into this new area of your life where you are creating and you are giving back.
You know, that's there is a tribal council that is done at the end of every Survivor show, and it's where they vote somebody off. And every reality show is a copy of some sort off of Survivor, where people get voted off, and there's a prize at the end, and there's teams of people, and they compete against each other. And when I fell into the fire on my show, it's the only in, you know, 301 contestants and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of episodes, 20 different seasons, it's the only time that a show didn't end with a tribal council.
Wow.
Now, they did a tribal council, but it never aired, and I was able to see it, and they talked a lot about that. You know, your hands are your strength, and they create, and they mold, and they develop, and you talk with your hands, and they're such an integral part of your life, and you're right. That's the part of my hand that I was forced for 10 days to stop using it. Almost the better part of a year, I couldn't use them in the way that I normally do now. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought of that until just now. But not being able to create forces you to think about creating and dream about creating and, mm-hmm. you know, creates a desire or a passion for creating. That's an interesting point you made there.
Yeah. And, you know, Mike, this gives everybody who's listening a chance right now to think if there is some sort of disease or dis-ease in your life or an area of your life that's not going well or is being burned right now, if you will, take a look at what that is in your life and what it represents in your life. Is it your heart that's hurting? Is it, you know, your knees? That's all about moving forward in your life. So take a look at really what that problem is and what it means to you and how you can overcome it. And it's like Mike said, there are several ways to get around a situation or a problem. If someone puts an obstacle in your way, like a chair, you can move it, you can go under it, you can lift it, you can go over it, you can go around it. Many ways to get around something. And I know you're addressing that in Discover Your Inner Strength. And this new book, like you said, you're talking to parents because there's a lot that parents and kids have to deal with these days.
It's very different. And the parents that say, I was a kid once too, I understand. Well, you really don't understand because, you know, when I was 9 years old and I was at a mall, my parents let me go to the bathroom by myself.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, you can't do that today. You know, and you're similar. You know, Saturday morning, I left at sunlight, and I didn't come back till dark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could ride your bike to school. I walked a mile to school every day. Not uphill both ways, but I did. I walked a mile to school every day, mm-hmm. and there was lots of kids that did it. When I was 16, I kissed a girl. I knew it was a girl.
That's good.
it is a different world, and I work with youth all the time. And I love to work with youth because there's a part of me that still believes they're moldable and that you can really make an impact. When I go to speak to a group of 500 high school, college kids, middle school kids, I probably get 3 to 4 dozen emails. Mm-hmm. When I go to speak to 500 adults, I probably get 5. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I just believe that kids still, not that adults can't, but adults are more set in their ways. And like you said, there's more than one way to move that chair. And adults, I think, sometimes get stuck in the rut of, I tried moving that chair and I can't get through. Mm-hmm. Because I read a book and it said you should move the chair. If it works for somebody else, that's great. But God created everybody completely differently and completely uniquely. And it's a great point. There are several different ways. And there are people that have committed their lives to helping people reach their goals in every community on this planet. So you can get there if you just have the desire to get there.
What is your biggest challenge as a father?
Wow. You know, my biggest challenge as a father, I have 7 children. I have 21 years old, 18, 14, 13, 12, 8, and 4 years old.
Yeah, no stress there.
right. And I think my biggest challenge is making sure that every kid individually feels important every single day, mm-hmm. feels important and feels loved. And my kids, a week doesn't go by when I don't say out loud to them, grab them by the ears and look them nose to nose and say, I love you, and no matter what happens, I got your back.
And look at that. That took just a brief second to say and a brief second to do. So I don't want to hear these excuses about I don't have time to connect with my kids.
Well, the average parent statistically spends less than 2 minutes a day talking with their children.
That's sad.
No, I'm not talking about did you pack your lunch? Why didn't you clean your room? Are you ready for dinner? I'm talking about a conversation with your child less than 2 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to how was school today? Fine. Boom. Parents think they did their job. But, kids, you know, until you're 25 years old, the part of your brain responsible for processing choices and processing risk is not even fully developed yet. These kids need us. And when a man grabs his son by the shoulders and looks him right in the eye and says, I love you and I got your back no matter what happens.
Wow.
That is so empowering to a child. And if that happened, there wouldn't be any gangs out there. There wouldn't be a tenth of the problems. 90% of the problems would go away because they go out and search for that because they don't feel like they're getting it on. And really good parents aren't doing it because they just don't understand that how critical that is in the development of a human.
And if you're someone like me who's out there who doesn't have any children, that's no excuse. You can volunteer. You can mentor. There are ways to touch kids. And if kids aren't your thing, then volunteer in other areas. You can still touch people and make a difference.
And women are really good at that. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking from a man's perspective. Women have the empathy and the sympathy and the love. And when a child scrapes his knee, dad's like, get up and get out going again. And mom's like, oh, are you okay? And I love the family with two parents. And I'm telling you, there's a special spot for single moms and single dads up in heaven. I believe that with all of my heart because that's difficult to do, to not have that male role model, because kids need both. They need the tough love and they need the soft love. They need to experience both. And it's a fine line, but I would say definitely that's my toughest, is to make sure that, my 4-year-old is feeling it and my 21-year-old is feeling it in different ways. And you parent each kid differently.
Well,
some parents say it's the same for everybody, and I don't believe that. Mm. I mean, when it comes time for dinner, I make one dinner, that's it. If you don't like it, you don't eat. I mean, we're pretty, we don't make the 6 different meals. I don't cut the crust off the bread because that's where all the nutrients are. And, there's so many things that, when the parents have steak, the kids get mac and cheese. There's nothing on a kid's menu at a restaurant that I would ever put in my children's mouth. My kids eat grown-up food, grown-up healthy food, raw vegetables, fruit, and they get it at every single meal. They eat like grown-ups. And when you start them like that, it's easy, and they actually like it. My kids, the other day, we had a party at my house for Father's Day. My mom and dad came over, and we celebrated my 19-year-old, my girl that just turned 19. We celebrated her birthday.
Oh, great.
And there was cookies and cakes, and there was all kind of little treats on the table. And I saw 3 of my kids with carrots and stalks of celery in their hand chomping on them. And I thought, and my kids aren't perfect. Believe me.
Right.
I'm necessary every single day. Mm-hmm. But it just made me feel good inside that how many kids would grab a stalk of celery and start munching on it when there's, sweets on the table.
Yep, train them early. Well, we appreciate you spending your time with us. And if you want to know more about Mike Scoopin, you want to get him to speak at your school or find out more about his books, you can go to MikeScoopin.com. Everything Mike Scoopin is there. You can find out about his past. You can find out about his future. And we really appreciate you sharing your philosophies with us. You are a magnificent man.
Well, let's do it again sometime, Lisa. I appreciated it.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about the differences between male and female then, okay? You start writing
Absolutely.
On that, mister.
I love that.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for choosing to be positive now.